Uh-oh, I think our mics are live now. It's yes, real news time.
And you can tell by that music, we are on the air.
And we have Steve and half of Al this morning.
I know. I'm just having a real hard time getting myself, I'm all just discombobulated here.
Wake up, Al.
Oh,
which
I
radio
know.
Station
I
are
know.
We on today, anyway?
Oh, that's right. I need the legal ID. That was WSLR, low powered FM, 96.5 radio, Sarasota, Florida.
Uh-oh, they're coming to get us.
As they probably should, Steve. Wow, what a weekend this is going to be. We got, what, five more days before the election's coming up?
Can you count that high?
Barely. I tell you what, you know, the funny thing was...
counting down in hours now.
I was downtown the other day, picked up Jamie at my daughter at the Sarasota Youth Opera, and ran into Vern Buchanan. And sat and literally chatted with him for a couple
minutes. Did you get arrested for what you told him?
No, actually... He looked tired. He looked like a man that had just spent $5 million, and he might not get anything out of it. Well, that was smooth, but that's probably right. You know, Wednesday morning...
Get that ambulance for him.
Tuesday morning, he's going to be wandering that big suite that he's probably staying in the night of the elections, and he's going to have that coffee cup and...
All right, well, let's tell our listeners what we're doing today.
I'm working up to...
You're rambling here.
No, timing is everything in comedy, and I think my
timing... I thought it was content.
No, actually, no, I was just saying, you know, he's going to be wandering around this big suite having not shaved with his cup of coffee. His wife's going to walk up, smack him in the back of the head, and go, $5 million.
No, we know that there are other people that have been smacking their wives. We'll report on that. There's some congressmen and senators have been in the news for smacking their wives. It seems like scandal is just rampant throughout
the
Republican Party. I really haven't seen a lot for the Democrats, but boy, the Republicans have been having gay sex. They've been covering up pedophiles. They've been smacking their wives. They've been tackling people. You name it. There was a contest to see if you could say all the scandals that are going on in the Republican Party in one breath. People couldn't do it. Because there's too
funny.
Much.
That's
it takes
funny.
Me an hour. I still can't do it.
And we have a guest in the studio today, just off the boat from Costa Rica.
Okay, so we have Jim, who's joined us in the studio. Jim, test your mic out. Grab it. Talk loudly. We want to hear you.
What it is.
There you go. Hey, and we have a guitar up there, so if things really get slow, we will make Jim break in the song.
Doesn't have any strings, but that won't stop him.
He's never stopped him before.
And, guitar.
Guitar, that's right.
Air guitar. And Jim was featured at the famous Fogartyville Cafe last night.
No way.
How did it go, Jim?
It went very well. I played a medley of old rock and roll.
You played a medley?
Roll,
I thought you played guitar.
Well, I played a guitar and sang a medley of old rock and roll songs and some blues and Eagles song, I think.
All right, well, we're going to be rock and rolling with some political comedy today. And these views, of course, are not those of the station or volunteers or WSLR or Jim or Steve or I or our guest. And we have a guest, Ira Shore, who is the National Field Director for the Physicians for Social Responsibility. He's an expert in nuclear arms and those types of issues. He's also a humorist, and he's funny. He has a...
As opposed to the non-funny humorists.
Like us.
Yeah,
and he has a fictional character called Senator Just Trust Me. It's hard to say. But in any case, Just Trust Me.
And you were picking on me today.
And we're going to bring him out. And he's also going to talk about dumb and smart policy in terms of nuclear arms and the arms race. And then at 10 minutes to the hour, we're going to have Kendra Muntz back from the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections, SAFE, to tell us why you should vote for a paper ballot and verifiable elections, like, duh, okay? But it is going to be on the ballot, and Sandra's going to be coming at 10 minutes to the hour to tell us about that.
So we are just chock-a-block full of content for a change. I mean, for our listeners.
There we go. Well, the computer's talking on its own here. So let's do some late-breaking news items. And since I looked at the news yesterday, some more things have come out.
Hey, but late-breaking, you're going to give a plug to... let's do it.
Okay. And I know you have some late-breaking things, too, to report to us, too.
So I do.
Some fun stuff and some serious stuff. You remember there was an officer that was convicted in the Abu Ghraib scandal? Okay. Well, according to Time magazine, which came out yesterday, he's being redeployed to Iraq. So he tortured people. Send him back. Do it again. Yay.
Well, they've been sending others that have traumatic problems with the war they've been sending them back against doctors' orders and suggestions. It's not, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing.
Well, now that they passed that detainee law, those people that were convicted of torture before, well, they may be promoted now because now they're for torture in a big way.
It's really kind of frightening. You know, and Jim, I was teasing our audience because I said, Jim, it's Costa Rica, but you actually do live down there. Do you have any trouble keeping up with world policy or what's going on? Or do you have like a big like Telstar satellite dish on top of your house down there?
Well, it's interesting. They have all the modern conveniences with cable and
toilets.
Internet. Yeah, toilets they're in shorter supply than the internet. But actually, we have ABC, NBC, and CBS and Fox from Denver, Colorado. Why, I don't know. Maybe because it's all mountains. But in any event, we also get Fox News. That's an interesting slant on things. And CNN. But it's interesting how, when you watch the political ads, I get to see the ones from Colorado, and they're malicious. That's the only thing I can say about them. I unfortunately cannot vote here in the United States because I changed my address and didn't tell the election commissioner where I was going.
Well, we won't tell them either. Nobody else out there tell them.
Didn't stop Ann Coulter.
Well, we know how to keep a secret.
That's right.
Well, so do I. I'd rather keep it a secret from them anyway. Where I live, where I reside, I'm actually a legal resident of Costa Rica, but I am a citizen of the United States,
and soon to be a resident of Guantanamo, of Gitmo.
Well,
if you're not careful.
Yeah, if I get caught here in the States, that's probably true. You know, I'll be a illegal alien of some sort. But I was thinking,
it's funny you don't look Hispanic.
I don't even sound Hispanic. But I was thinking some of the illegal aliens could do Bush's bidding over in Iraq. If he really wants to resolve some issues, he could send them over there for lower pay, and they would be more than accepting to take citizenship, even if they're in Iraq.
You heard it here first. The
Absolutely.
Solution to the war.
And I can't believe you didn't immigrants. Tell me. I can't believe you didn't tell me Jim was in town that he was playing at Fogartyville. I had a whole night open last night. Jones in Houston speaking at a conference. She's going to be there until I guess I pick her up tonight. Okay, I better. And Jamie was in soccer in Lakeland, and I didn't go to the game. I could have been down there hanging out.
Well, you should have.
Other plans. All right, so let's report a little bit of other late-breaking news. We have about 7 minutes before our guest calls in, our National Director for Physicians for Social Responsibility, Ira Shore.
And on the air, we're going to sign Steve up. This is going to be an exciting... Oh, maybe not.
Okay. Now you're always volunteering me for things. Look out. I'll get back at you.
That's right. That's
so the Bush administration, did you see, they posted nuclear bomb building guide on the internet. And they did it by mistake. Typical bungling administration. They have a website which was an archive of Iraqi documents that they put. And they were talking about these are documents that they captured during the war. So they put them up to say, hey, look what a great job we did. Well, in recent weeks, they posted documents that show basically how to build nuclear weapons, and the documents themselves are a danger, according
funny.
To experts. And this came out according to Time magazine yesterday. Along with that, of course, are the thousands of weapons that they've lost. And if you remember, we reported last year that there were hundreds of thousands of tons of explosives that we lost. The Bush administration, they just can't keep track of their firearms.
If they just paid an extra 50 cents per rifle, they could have had that barcode. But nope, we had to cut back, and the barcoding was one
And
of
I hear
them.
That Cheney got a hold of some of them.
Oh, God, we're all in trouble
really
now.
Really dangerous.
Well, they should have put barcodes on the WMDs so they would have been easier to locate.
Easier to find. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, or at least those little things on them so if they go out past the security entrance, it'll beep and say, you know, you have reached the security entrance. But no, we had to cut back.
All right. Well, I think it's time for a comment on that. Let's see if my comment line is working here.
Atomic batteries to power. turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Ready to move out, guys. All right, the House Ethics Committee is not going to release the Foley report before elections. Oh, there's too much stuff going on in there. That's according to AP, which came out last night.
Gee, and James Baker's,
surprise.
James Baker's report's not going to be released before elections either. It's going to be a busy news week after elections.
I tell you. And what's going to happen to the price of gasoline after the elections, guys?
Oh, gee.
We all know.
Let me get Kreskin on the phone for this one.
And a majority of Americans do believe that the gas prices are being manipulated for the elections and are not buying it anymore. They're not using that to decide who to vote for anymore. They did in the past. People are wising up. Thank goodness, people. Yay, people, you're getting better.
Well, unfortunately, not all are wising up. I still see Catherine Harris placards in front yards of houses. Now, that perplexes me.
Well, they're getting paid off.
Well,
there's money involved. It's easy. If you get a certain amount of money, you
money
get a placard.
Talks.
Well, it's like the same people that continue to listen to Rush Limbaugh. Rush is right. Rush rules. I mean, in the last month, this guy has defended a pedophile and has gotten obnoxious because they wanted to find out not what Foley did, but who leaked the information and how long they knew it. Then you had him earlier this week fussing about the fact that the lawyer that outed George Bush's DUI, well, that was when he was a young man. So I guess as long as nobody got killed, and that was back in the good old days when drunk driving was just kind of a ticket and send you on your way still drunk, you know. So he goes off and does this, and you got these ditto heads. He makes fun of Michael J. Fox on national radio, and the man is still on the air, and he still has a listening audience. So it just amazes me the gullibility of the American public.
Well, it's true. I mean, give them a light, and they'll follow it anywhere. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. There's so many cliches. I can't believe I just said that because it makes no sense. But but it is true. The American people are swayed, especially by what they hear and see.
All right, can I report something here?
Certainly.
Okay, guys. Guess how many political. No, you can't stop me.
I didn't think so.
I'm unstoppable. Guess how many political ads have been added? Have been aired. Between August 1st and October 1st, according to Nielsen Monitor Plus, and this was reported in the AP, which came out late breaking news.
Is this national ads?
Across the nation. How many ads, just per ad, how many? Add them up. How many we got? Take a guess.
Well, I'd say at least two, and I mean too many.
Too many. There you go. Yeah. How many, guys? Give me a number. Embarrass yourselves with a guess.
700,000.
That was a pretty good guess.
I was going to say a million, but...
Yeah, right in between. 942,900. And by the time we get this last week before the election, which hasn't been counted...
I would have never guessed that.
It should easily be over a million.
You know, one of the things I wanted to tell Vernon Buchanan when I talked to him the other day on the street. In fact, I introduced him to my daughter, and she was very impressed to kind of like meet somebody that's kind of like rock star quality, and the fact that he knew me by name. But I just want to tell him, Vern, the problem is... I don't know what you stand for anymore. I know what Christine Jennings doesn't stand for. I know all the things about why we theoretically shouldn't vote for her, but I don't know what you stand for anymore, and that's what's been lost in this. You don't know what the people that are wanting your vote stand for. You simply know all the bad stuff about the other guy. And
well, that's all they do now. They have no... There is no tactic for or strategy for Iraq. There's no strategy for the economy or for Katrina or for anything for that matter. All they have is attack the other side.
Exactly. And they're spending an awful lot of money doing it.
All right. So the GOP released a handbook of insidious voter intimidation tactics.
This is according to the Washington Post.
Which came out last night.
You're making this up.
I don't make it up, guys. I just report. You guys make it up. I just read the papers here.
Now, do they follow this handbook, or is that a primer for them? Or
It's a how-to. You ought to see the PowerPoint.
I'd love to.
With music and everything in the background, it's really tremendous.
I bet.
I think our guest is calling in. I see Steve pushing buttons, moving pots. Who we got over there, Steve?
Talk to us, Ira.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ira Shorth. Okay, Steve.
All right, let's get your line up here. Ira, say good morning to the people of Sarasota.
Good morning, Sarasota.
All right, there we go. So yeah. As we mentioned before, Ira is the National Field Director for the Physicians for Social Responsibility. How did I say that? Was that okay?
That was very good.
All right, and hopefully you have Senator Jess Trestme available.
Yes, the senator is with me. He travels with me continuously, so he's in the back room now preparing.
Great, and you're going to talk to us a little bit about some dumb and smart tactics as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so tell us a little bit about your organization, the Physicians for Social Responsibility.
Physicians for Social Responsibility is an advocacy and educational organization that was started in the early 1980s around the issue of the nuclear weapons danger. And so we focus on two major areas under the umbrella, what we see now as the gravest threats facing the world today. That is the threats from nuclear weapons and then the other great danger as we see it is the threat from global warming and the ramifications of global warming, continuing global warming. And so we get into energy security issues there as well. We have, we are predominantly an organization of healthcare professionals, but we have many other citizens who are members as well. We have chapters in about 30 cities around the country, and we basically do community education and advocacy and inside the Beltway and outside the Beltway, working for nuclear disarmament and working for new energy policies and policies that can confront the danger of climate change, global warming.
And obviously this is a bipartisan group, of course.
Yes, we have Republicans and Democrats and independents and all manner of folks, but, you know, the nature of our issues does tend to, cause certain people more than others to gravitate towards what we do.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Are environmental issues
how you really feel
involved in your, particular thrust of activities?
When you say environmental issues?
Well, like waterways and...
Yeah, as they relate to public health policy. So, right. For example, we have a chapter in New Orleans that has been very active post-Katrina in confronting the public health ramifications of the hurricane and its aftermath and the environmental degradation that resulted. PSR in New Orleans was involved in analyzing that and doing education on that, as well as actually providing some on-the-ground health care, which we don't do too much of, but because New Orleans was New Orleans at that time, our docs and health professionals did get involved with that. But particularly on the environment side, we focus on what the public health ramifications are of environmental policy. So, you know, when the EPA is trying to weaken mercury regulations or that kind of thing, we advocate in Washington for strengthening those kinds of regulations and trying to mitigate against the consequences of that kind of pollution, which has, you know, public health ramifications.
Sure.
All right, well, there's been several late-breaking news items which just came out, which I want to get your opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
One of them in the AP, which came out a couple of days ago, the Fed's investigating the Bush administration about censorship of science, which may expose widespread misconduct.
Yes, well, that was around, I think, the clamping down on scientists at NASA and other government organizations is and curtailing their ability to talk about global warming, right?
That was correct. Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey, the Democrat from New Jersey, was informed by the Inspector General for the Commerce Department and NASA, which had begun a coordinated sweeping investigation of the Bush administration's censorship and suppression of federal research into global warming.
That's right. Well, for this administration, kind of that harkens back to the Reagan days when, remember Reagan said facts are dangerous things or something to that extent? I mean, you know, information is seen by, scientific information particularly is seen by this administration as being dangerous because it, you know, contradicts the policies that they want to move forward that mostly benefit the, you know, the business and corporate community and they don't want reality to get in the way. So this is an example of that.
Yeah, they don't want to get in the way of their version of reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even, you know, Blair, Bush's co-partner, co-enabler, if you will, on Iraq, you know, a couple of days ago just came out with this study in Great Britain about the catastrophic consequences of unchecked global warming economically. The report sort of centered on the economic reality of that. And you would think if anything could get this administration's attention as far as an issue, it would be connecting global warming to economics, the fact that it would be tremendously negative ramifications for the world economy. But that doesn't even seem to be the case. They're just moving.
So let me inject some factual information here. Not fighting global warming could cost trillions, according to Reuters, which was reported in October. Failing to fight global warming could cost trillions of dollars because of, and not even counting biodiversity loss or unpredictable events like Gulf Stream shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
So even discounting those things, it still could, and also was reported by ABC in October, the ozone layer is as large as North America.
Yeah, I mean, there's tremendous potential here for dire consequences. There was just a report that was just on the news this morning that I just heard about the danger to fish populations around the world now because of overfishing in the oceans, but also there's the danger connected with global warming and the ramifications that's having on the oceans and how that's affecting the fish population. So
we could be, we could be fished out by 2048 or something like that?
Exactly. So, you know, we really have to start paying attention to this in a serious way on all levels, but, you know, the federal government in the U.S., as we're the sort of biggest contributor to global warming pollutants, you know, the United States has got to get involved in this. But, you know, the good news on that is states are starting to pay more attention to it. Individuals are, you know, there's a critical mass now, but really the federal government has got to jump in on this, and it's just a sad thing that the Bush administration is stonewalling.
Did you see what the UK did? They appointed Al Gore as the environmental advisor. This came out about a week or so ago, according to the Times of London.
That's right. We can't listen to him here as far as the federal government, so that he's going to go to Britain where they will listen to him. That's another sad example of what our current policy is costing us.
And I wonder, does the senator have any comments about global warming for us?
He might. I mean, I've heard the senator opine on those kinds of issues. I mean, I could ask the senator, but once you get the senator, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to stay with the senator.
Okay, that sounds like
he just doesn't jump in and out because his ego is too big. You know, he doesn't like to step aside much.
Well, we need to make sure that we wrap with him. Well, let me ask you this: Are we at a point where we've passed the point of no return on the global warming issues or the global crisis?
Well, we've passed. My understanding is, from what experts have said, we've passed the point of no return as far as there being serious ramifications. There will be serious ramifications. Now, the question is, how serious? And you know, you have different estimates of that. There are some scientists like Lovelock in Great Britain. I can't remember his first name now, but he was the founder of the Gaia Principle, which was the sort of the first scientist to look at the Earth as an entity, as a complete system. And he is talking about the fact he thinks it's too late, and his solution is, you know, that we're going to have to get parts of humanity together and march to the Arctic and hang out there until the Earth balances itself. So you go from that extreme to many others who say, you know, if we start confronting it seriously now, we can mitigate against the most destructive consequences, but we have got to start ASAP. So it varies depending on who you talk to, but I think there's uniform consensus among credible scientists that action is needed, and it's needed as soon as possible.
And speaking of consequences, according to The Independent, late October, the Pacific nations warn of a mass exodus of climate refugees as rising sea levels swallow the islands. So I guess they're going to go to the Antarctic. And this is Kiribati, an archipelago of 33 coral atolls, 6 feet above the sea levels,
right,
is vanishing as the sea levels rise. It's not going to be there anymore.
Right. There was an article in the Washington Post here a couple of months ago where an environmentalist did scenarios on coastal areas in the United States and what unchecked global warming would mean for people living in those areas. And, you know, the reality is you don't want to be in New York. You don't want to be in Washington at that point because there is submersion. The coastal areas will be submerged. So it's not just, you know, the Pacific archipelago. It's states here as well, and you know, for coastal areas of Florida as well. This is, you know, all pointing if global warming is unchecked. And I'll mention one other thing. There was a study that didn't get a lot of attention that the Pentagon commissioned last year, I believe it was, and they had a study on what the ramifications of global warming might mean for security issues, and they brought up the kinds of things you just mentioned, the sense of mass migrations, resource wars over resources, water, food, etc., and leading, you know, to great disruption and to a situation where, you know, security would be threatened much more than, for example, by the threat of terrorism.
Now, one of the big things that you're also working on, if I understand it, Ari, is that you're concerned for nuclear proliferation.
Exactly.
I guess the Chernobyl people don't realize fully the impact of the Chernobyl disaster. And just now we're launching spacecraft they're wanting to launch spacecraft with nuclear reactors to power them and what have you. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because I remember you had some interesting statistic on an accident I think that everybody's forgotten with one of our space launches.
Yeah, and I don't deal as much with space issues and nuclear issues, but the issue, the danger of nuclear proliferation is, you know, as serious as it's ever been since the end of the Cold War. I mean, we're in, and people know, I mean, they hear about North Korea building nuclear weapons or and testing nuclear weapons. They hear potentially about Iran's moving towards that. And what people don't realize, though, is the United States is not helping this, both in our policies of not talking directly to other countries about their nuclear weapons programs, but also because we right now are in a phase where we're planning, the United States is, to totally rebuild our nuclear weapons production capacity to be able to go to Cold War era levels of producing new nuclear weapons. So, you know, when the U.S. tells other nations not to build nuclear weapons at the same time that we're planning for new ones, we're threatening other nations with a nuclear strike, you know, we're setting the wrong example for the world, and it just increases the dangers of proliferation. And you mentioned, you know, nuclear power and Chernobyl, and that's another, you know, warning sign that this administration and many in Congress are pushing for a renewed focus on nuclear power generation, which, you know, is a proliferation danger. That's how North Korea was able to produce nuclear weapons. That's how Iran is able to be in the situation they are now with enriching uranium. It comes out of the ability to, you know, produce nuclear power. So, and nuclear power is not the solution, is what our organization is saying.
And it was reported that Iran is about to test a missile that they can use to deliver weapons.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure if they'll be able to deliver nuclear weapons. I haven't seen that exact report in detail yet. You know, the important thing to keep in mind about Iran is that...
Well, let me just put that in.
Sure.
The Iran is testing long-range missiles, according to the AP. This came out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
long-range missile. But there's, you know, there's the ability to have a long-range missile, and then there's the ability to have a missile that can carry a nuclear weapon. So they're not exactly the same. And, you know, definitely, you know, the Iran situation, you know, is a problem that needs to be addressed. And again, what our organization and others are urging is, you know, direct contact between the U.S. and Iran to talk about these issues. I will say, though, that even our own intelligence agencies say that Iran is, you know, anywhere from 4 years to 10 years away from having the ability to produce a nuclear weapon. So, you know, it's not like, you know, we need to act immediately, but we do need to get engaged with them and head
off. Now, wait a minute. According to the Bush policies, if you just bully people and refuse to negotiate with them, that they will come to you on their knees. Look how well that's worked in Korea. We know that that's prevented them from having nuclear weapons, right?
Yeah, it's not the best kind of diplomacy. As a matter of fact, it's one of the worst kinds of diplomacy. But you know, that's their attitude. there's an arrogance there that runs through the entire administration. That's why, you know, so many people in the world dislike the United States policies now. Nobody likes an arrogant bully, and unfortunately, in the last few years, that's what we are seen as in many, many other countries.
However, I have to report that a lot of Iraqis like us, because hundreds of thousands of U.S. weapons were reported unaccounted for in Iraq, according to the New York Times coming out last week.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's kind of like a surreal news, isn't it?
Yeah, and that, you know,
I mean, you don't have to write humor these days. You just pick up the newspaper and read it.
Yeah, and the smoking gun, is this kind of stuff. And remember, it was about a year or so ago that we reported, it came out in the news, that hundreds of thousands of tons of explosives just went missing in Iraq. And then that sort of wasn't barely reported in the mainstream media, enough to fund the insurgents, you know, with bombs and supply them for a long time to come. We're giving
now,
them
look,
the
look,
weapons.
Look, Rumsfeld, you know, he explained that. Stuff happens, Charlie. Get off of it.
And according to the CIA, which came out, we're less safe because of Iraq. And this was according to a CIA expert. And that was, who was that?
Well, no, it was an NIE estimate, a National Intelligence Agency estimate, which is it was a report that was based on the best intelligence of all the intelligence agencies of the United States, and basically the summary was that the Iraq war has increased the danger of terrorism because it's angered and alienated.
Yeah, and here's another quote, running like a headless chicken in its war against Iraq.
Yeah, well, it's amazing that the Republicans are running on this sort of statements that we can't elect the other side because they'd make us less secure.
And here's my chicken comment, a little late, but it's there.
How can we be any less secure? With these guys? I mean, I didn't get to read the paper this morning yet, but there was this headline about we had nuclear weapons. Technology information on this website in Iraq or something like that.
Yeah, we reported that. Have you been streaming us? Because we reported that like just before you came on the air.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is WSLR Radio 96.5, low-powered FM here in Sarasota, and we're talking with...
Ira Shore. And low power does not mean low impact. And we are also streaming on the Internet. You can get us at WSLR.org or go to our website, thesurrealnews.com. And
Ira, you also have a website set up, don't you? What's the website?
Absolutely. So if people want to see what our organization is about, Physicians for Social Responsibility, and you know, connect with us, we're at www.psr.org. We have reports and fact sheets and information about current news stories that revolve around the issues that we've been talking about. We allow people to engage with Congress as far as we send out alerts when votes are coming up so people can express themselves on these issues. And so I encourage people to go visit our website and take a look at what we do. It's psr.org.
And everything that Dr. Politic here to my right is going to need to set up his own chapter down here and...
That's absolutely right.
There you go. Okay. I knew you were wondering.
I will come down to help you set it up in beautiful Sarasota in the winter. I'll come down.
Now, is this exclusive for physicians or?
No. It's anybody who wants to join. I mean, we were started by a group of docs and other health professionals, but anybody can join our organization.
Oh, sounds good.
Well, of course, now we have a guest in the studio, and Jim, you know, he has it rough. He's living in a rainforest in Costa Rica, but every now and then comes back to Gracie's presence. Well, you have to come out of the country three days a year or something.
I was just there in March in Costa Rica, and really enjoyed it. Beautiful country.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I have some beautiful property there. I'm a very fortunate fellow. I have made some of my destiny. It's been very, very fruitful for me.
Literally, you're growing your own fruits and vegetables.
Right, cashews, peanuts, avocados.
You got several waterfalls on your property and a couple of rivers.
Three rivers and 15 waterfalls. Yeah.
Wow. I'm thinking road trip. You know?
I'm thinking change of life.
It's certainly changed my attitude about life and especially about the environment, because I was really concerned here in the United States when I was living here about water, and it is going to be a gold, if you will, in years to come, because we have destroyed many of our natural aquifers. It's not a good thing to think about how we have just not taken care of Mother Earth.
No, and I think, you know, but people are understanding that in a way that they haven't before, but it's we're in a great struggle for to see how we can come out of this. And you know, I think you just, as for individuals, you do what you can on an individual basis, and you know, you do what you can as far as being part of your democracy, and you know, try to keep an optimistic attitude.
Well, it's hard to be optimistic when you have the decider, he calls himself, in the top spot.
Well, maybe we'll be more optimistic after next Tuesday, although, you know, the Democrats are no easy answer either, but at least they are, a number of them are adults and do believe in reality and facts.
And they listen.
And government. They, you know, that's the big thing with the folks that are in office now. They really don't believe in government. They really hate government. And so when you have somebody who hates government and is part of it, it's the height of dysfunction, which is, of course, where we are.
Well, they're really traitors to democracy. They're trying to overthrow our democracy as we know it.
The thing I think that is so amazing, because there's so much documented, Dr. Politic has a couple of sheets here in front of me about the feds are investigating whether there was a cover-up regarding people reporting on global warming. Tony Snow is saying that, you know, there's no cover-up. And then you get these right-wing radio hacks like Rush Limbaugh that come up there and make fun of the polar bears and make fun of the melting ice caps. Are these individuals just in complete and total denial, or are they just trying to spin it because that's what their party or their power or their people are trying? That's the stance they've taken.
You know, it's hard to say without being inside their body. But,
well, how much money are they taking on the side?
Yeah. You know, I mean, these are people that are in a lot of power. They're powerful people. They've, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, I think, as Churchill said. And there's both, I think, you know, this sort of total obsession with power and a lot of denial, because if there wasn't denial, it'd be schizophrenic, it would seem to be, to me. So I think there's, you know, they have to convince themselves that what they're saying is right. They have to bend reality in that way, and they benefit, you know, as individuals. Even if society goes down the drain, they're having a hell of a time.
The I know we're kind of probably coming up on the little bit of the end of your interview time, Ira. Is the senator there? Can the senator talk to you?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get him.
All righty.
This is Senator Jess. Trust me. How are you today?
Oh, Senator, good to have you on there.
I'd like to make a pitch. I hope people will send me money. We haven't got our website set up yet. We're working on that. But if they send it to you, I know you'll forward it to me. I'm running for the White House in 2008. I'm going to be your next president, so you better pay attention. I'm a senator, by the way, from a state that cannot be named for security reasons, so I can't really tell you where I'm from. But I'm an ultra-compassionate conservative, and I'm running to the right of George Bush.
Is that possible?
Take a look at me. It is possible, believe me. Because, first of all, I think we can do much better at looking more compassionate and being more conservative, and that's a great part of my platform.
Well, Senator, tell me, did you know anything about this Foley scandal?
No, I did not. I don't even know how to text message, so I had nothing to do with that. You know, as far as this, these sexual peccadilloes, I can promise you this. When I'm president, I'm just going to focus on foreign affairs. I'm not going to do anything untowardly in the country itself. I think that's what's gotten these people in a lot of trouble.
Now, is that diplomats that are having affairs elsewhere, or...
That's none of your business, Charlie, okay? That's between me and my conscience.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, Senator, will any of your trial stops be bringing you into the Sunshine State as you travel around the country, do you think?
I do travel around the country. Quite often I can't tell people when I'm there because of for security reasons, but I will travel around the country because I've got something to say, unlike a lot of these other people. I've got a stand on a lot of issues. For example, let me tell you, I've got a plan to reduce the deficit. I'm going to sell our national monuments to corporations. As soon as I get into office, I'm working on a deal to sell the St. Louis Arch, for example, to Dr. Scholes, the Smoky Mountains. I'm going to sell that to Philip Morris, and, of course, the Washington Monument. We're already in negotiations to sell that to the Trojan Company. These are the kind of ideas that, let me put it this way. I'm full of it. Full of enthusiasm for my own ideas. And I can tell you this, like President Bush, I'm not going to second-guess myself because I won't think about things in the first place. And that, of course, saves me a lot of time to raise money, which is what my campaign is really all about.
Oh, that's excellent. Your platform or the planks for which you stand on.
Yes.
You have one.
I've got plenty of planks, so you can. I'm putting new planks in every day. We have a solid foundation. I'm for family values. I can tell you this. I am against gay marriage. Marriage should be between a man and a younger woman. Between a man and a woman. And but I tell you, I'm not going to go for a constitutional amendment to outlaw gay marriage. That's just too complicated. My plan I'm going to outlaw gay divorce. See, if people can't get divorced, there's no way they're going to want to get married in the first place. So that's a much smarter move. I'll tell you this, too. I'm also against cloning. I'm against the cloning of human beings. It's dangerous. For example, do you know what happens when you clone a Jehovah's Witness to a Unitarian? You get somebody who knocks on your door but has no idea why he's there. And that is dangerous. So, I have a lot of things we're working on. I'm against government waste. The first thing I'm going to do is merge some government departments. Right off, I can tell you, I'm going to merge the Department of Justice with the Interior Department, and we're going to form the Department of Injustice, which is a real patriot act, if I say so myself.
How do you feel about the Homeland Security Patriot Act? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think we have got to get stricter with it. I don't think people should be allowed to say anything in public. If they're going to talk, let them do it behind closed doors. We're at war against terror, my friends, and we're going to be at war forever or even longer. So I think that is why we need to sort of clamp down on this, this talking between Americans, the sharing of ideas, which I find just insidious.
Your thoughts on Congress in session? Do you think Congress is in session too long enough, or just the right amount of time?
Well, for me, I really don't care, because my goal is to be president. So Congress can go their own way. I think when I am president, I'll call Congress together, I'll tell them what we're going to do, and then we'll move from there. By the way, I have a plan. I don't know if people in your area are concerned about bird flu.
Yeah, very much,
but
yes.
I've got a plan to confront bird flu, basically I'm going to increase military spending because it's only the military that has the ability to shoot these birds out of the sky before they get to our country. So, and by the way, I'm going to put Dick Cheney in charge of that program.
Rumsfeld would be good, too.
Now, Rumsfeld had it, I think. I don't like the way he handles the press anymore. He's a babbler. So we're going to put him out to, but Cheney, he can still spit in your eye. I like that.
Any thoughts about global warming?
Yeah, global warming. That's baloney. I hear these doom and gloom reports. I heard about Al Gore's film, An Incontinent Truth, about global wetting or whatever he was talking about. I don't worry about it, People talk about climate change. The climate is always changing. You ever hear of winter, spring? This is nothing new. So I think Bush was absolutely right on climate change. Why should we sing the same song as other countries? I think the Bush administration was absolutely right to pull out of the karaoke treaty on global warming. So I wouldn't worry about it. If the polar ice caps are melting, I can promise you that my administration will drill for ice. As a matter of fact, we're going to drill for everything, everywhere.
So you're for stay the course?
I'm for play the course. I think it's you got to just play on through, And we've hit the first country that begins with I. We're going after the next country that hits with I, if you know what I mean. And I can't tell you too much because I'm on the committee and we're working on this is a secret. It's a secret.
What are the committees are you on?
I'm on every committee I can walk into. Okay? Wherever they allow me. If there's a chair, I'm on the committee. That's my attitude. I can't give you their names again for security reasons.
I understand.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, Senator, it looks like we're going to be hearing more about you in the coming years leading up into the you're running for president, correct?
I'm running for president. There's no higher office and there's nobody higher than me while I'm running. And yes, you will be hearing a lot from me. Senator, just trust me. And that's what I mean.
And any vice presidential candidates in mind?
No, I'm running. I'm taking both positions. I get double salary that way.
And what's your stand on legalizing marijuana?
Well, I'm very high on drugs for certain cases. And, you know, I can't go into it further. We're putting the platform together. But I can promise you this. You get my vote, you get something in the mail.
There you go. There you go.
I like the sound of that.
Senator, thank you so very much. And if you pass along our thanks to Ira, and I guess we're running out of time. So thank you so very, very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that was Ira Shore. He's the National Field Director for Physicians for Social Responsibility. There we go.
Yeah. So it was like the PSO role of the old. So the website is out there and available. A refreshing politician who when you got off the phone, you knew absolutely nothing, I guess.
Well, you knew just where he stood.
Absolutely.
A little further right than Bush, which is almost inconceivable. But
I mean, you could almost fall off the flat earth that they believe in, I guess.
More than likely.
Well, right. Dr. Politic, we've got coming up, 10 minutes till, I guess?
We've got a couple of minutes. Let's do some surreal fun stuff. I got some stuff prepared for us, unless there's someplace else you want to go.
No.
What do you think are the most dangerous cities in the United States? We have them ranked by the top to the top 10, and this came out, according to the AP, a couple of days ago. Okay. Any guesses for the most dangerous city in the country?
Well, the only thing I saw was the headline. So I know the headline, but I was surprised by it.
All right, well, don't tell Jim. Jim, right. What do you think?
Well, I think Flint, Michigan, Detroit.
Number three.
Detroit,
number two. Good, you got two out of the three top ones. Wow.
No, well,
right off the bat.
It's kind of, those two locations, I think I'd just as soon go to Iraq. No, I didn't say that.
Iraq isn't on the list.
Oh, of course not. Let me think. Well, New York City.
Not on the list.
Not on the list. Now, that's surprising.
Miami?
Not on the list.
Newark, New Jersey.
On the list. We got Camden, New Jersey, though.
Well, that's close.
Camden's pretty sleazy. Okay.
What is it?
Number one, Alan?
That wasn't that St. Louis, Missouri?
St. Louis.
Oh.
Which just amazes me. They must have had like a rash of like murders or something to put them over the top at the end.
Well, it's even worse in East St. Louis, Illinois, from what I've been told. It's not a good place to be at all.
Have a caller calling in. That's probably Kendra Muntz, reporting on the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections, or somebody else. So the other people on the other cities on the list are Cleveland, Ohio, Oakland, California, Youngstown, Ohio, Gary, Indiana, and Compton, California. And we already mentioned St. Louis, Detroit, and Flint are the top 1, 2, 3. Also reported in some surreal news for you, interesting stuff. There was a Chicago Marathon winner who was reported in October who banged his head at the finish line. I don't know if you heard about this.
Actually, I did. Yeah, he
yeah,
slipped
Robert
on...
Robert Chirunyort, if I'm sure enough. So, Jim, do you hear what happened?
No.
So he was about to celebrate his victory. He was running down the home stretch. Next thing you know, he was sort of on the ground, bleeding from the head, dazed. Fortunately, when he fell with his head hitting the finish line, which made him officially the winner.
Well, that's at least he got something out of it besides his injury.
He won by a head.
Okay, we just have a little bit of breaking news here.
Breaking news, guys. This is real news.
November 7th, which is election night, we are going to be doing something special here in the station from 7 to 9. We'll be reporting on the election coverage. There's also going to be Fogartyville will be open that evening. That's up in Bradenton. And it will be open that evening to kind of be there to help count the or help pass out or sort through the election information. Probably there will be some of the people from Christine Jennings' camp because they are using Fogartyville during the daytime apparently as a base. They also anticipate having people from Sarah Meeker's group there as well. So Surreal News will be broadcasting live from 7 to 9 on November 7th, reporting the election news.
All right. Now, if you're using those touchscreen voting machines here in Sarasota where they're popular and soon to be across the United States in some 90% of people, I want you to know, don't worry about it, guys. It's not dangerous in any way. It's not going to kill you when you go up to those electronic voting machines. If you push the button, just keep in mind, if you push too hard, they might think you're a legal immigrant and arrest you and send you to Gitmo. But I wouldn't worry about that. So just don't push the button too hard. And also, if you push it too softly, they might think that you're a younger person and then arrest you for voting underage. But I wouldn't worry about that. These are just electronic voting machines, and you probably won't be arrested if you use the electronic voting machines in that way. Just be careful not to push the button too hard or too soft.
And Steve, on the line, the
speaking
expert.
Of electronic voting the machines, expert. We have Kendra Moontz.
Good morning.
All right, let's turn you up so everybody can hear and speak loudly into the telephone, if you would.
Okay, good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
Kendra's been on our show a couple times. She's the head of the Sarasota Alliance for Fair Elections, and she was certainly helpful, if not personally responsible, for getting the ballot initiative. Tell us what it is.
Okay, well, our ballot initiative, and it wasn't just me. It was, I mean, we have 14,500 people that signed a petition for mandatory, this is on the ballot, folks, mandatory voter-verified paper ballots, independent random audits of election results, and audits required before certification. And it's the proposed county charter amendment, and it's right after all the six statewide amendments. So go all the way through the ballot to find it. For most people in Sarasota County, it's the last item on the ballot, and it's all by itself. It has no number, but vote yes for mandatory voter-verified paper ballots. So we can have elections we can verify.
Right, and we want to remind people that Bush and the, not the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State, right?
Yes, Secretary of State Sue Cobb.
They wanted this, right? They were full support of this?
No, Secretary of State Sue Cobb opposes our amendment. So it's quite clear where the current people in control are on this issue. She's opposing the amendment, and people need to think very carefully when they vote for governor, because it's the governor who appoints the Secretary of State.
Now, these are Republicans. I assume that only Democrats are for this amendment, right?
Oh, absolutely not. That's a wonderful thing. This is a nonpartisan amendment, and people of all political parties have signed a petition. We have amazing support from Republicans, Greens, Libertarians, people of no party, and I thank them all. Everybody who thinks about this clearly, and especially who listens to the national news, knows that you got to have a paper ballot, you got to have a permanent record independent of the machines to check the machine results. And what we're asking for is really what 52 other counties in Florida already have, so it's not new.
Why would the Secretary of State not want this?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Apparently,
finances or?
Well, no, actually that's not even the reason, because, people all over the country know that optical scanners are less expensive to maintain, purchase, and maintain on an ongoing basis than touchscreens. We could save money over time with these machines and pay them off in a 2 or 3 years, and that's a really good payback time. And we're talking about something that is, you know, far less than other, items in this county. I mean, the county is talking about spending $6 million for automated trash cans. So, you know, how about $2 to $3 million for protecting our democracy?
But can you trust those trash cans?
How can you? Those lids might go up and down. You never know.
Kendra, you had a mailing going out this week. I guess I talked to you on another show
earlier this week, and you were a couple thousand dollars short of meeting your goal to do the mailing like you all wanted to. How'd you end up doing? Because I guess you had until, what, the 2nd?
Well, I tell you right. We can't accept any more funds now from November 2nd to the 7th. But after Election Day, folks can still chip in if they want. But by golly, we raised about $11,000 in 5 days. We've raised $71,000 overall in this campaign, and every dime has been spent, and we're, you know, I've loaned money to cover the very last $500. But we're, you know, so far with no extra, not with anything extra, we're just about break even, which is fantastic.
That's wonderful. And so then the mailing went out to the people in Sarasota, I guess.
The mailing went out, and I hope everybody reads it. That's all we can do. We don't have any money for TV ads or anything else, but people should vote yes for the county charter amendment. The Secretary of State, let me just give you a clue. What people don't realize is that there is a trend in Florida from the people currently running this state in the legislature, in the executive branch, in the Secretary of State's office. The pressure is on for paperless touchscreen voting with no verification of your vote. This is computer-controlled elections, and this is not something for democracy. This is a problem, major problem. And people in Sarasota County should realize we all need to make a loud and clear statement that we want all citizens, all voters of all parties want verified elections. It's the only way to keep democracy going, folks.
Well, you think after what happened in the 2000 election, we'd be a little bit more up on that. I guess one of the other questions I have, your amendment or your initiative probably is not one of the main questions that gets brought up in polls, but do you have a feel or an impression for how things are going plus or minus?
I'll tell you, I'm hearing from people that there are people of all political parties who are for this, and so I'm hoping that there would be widespread support for this amendment. I'm hearing this from Republicans, Greens, Libertarians, all kinds of people say this is a good thing. Vote yes on our proposed county charter amendment. I do know that the supervisor of elections has been actively against it, putting articles in the newspaper, and one of the county commissioners is saying, oh, everything's fine, everything's safe, we don't need this. I think they're misguided. I think they are not aware. If you watch what's going on all over the country, listen to CNN, Lou Dobbs at night from 6 to 7. There's a wonderful documentary called Hacking Democracy that is on HBO. If people email me, I can send them the schedule. It's going to be run throughout November. Okay, it was on last night. It's fabulous.
And didn't Diebold try to get HBO to quash that?
They tried to, but they didn't. And it's absolutely worth seeing. I think it's an eye opener for everybody. And by the way, Diebold, people think, you know, we have ESNS machines. Well, guess what? Last year, Diebold was certified in Florida in a rush. It was less than 1 month. The machines were certified, and these are some of the same machines that have been decertified in California and other states for fraud. And guess what? 31 counties in Florida now have Diebold touchscreen machines for the disabled. That's a problem, okay?
Absolutely.
There is a trend toward paperless voting in this state. A lot of people don't know it, and it's time the citizens of Florida wake up and demand verified elections. We deserve it. All voters deserve it.
Well, I saw a blurb on CNN this morning about some of the automated paperless voting machines where if you pushed in the yellow button, you could vote as many times as you liked if they didn't catch you.
That's amazing. And was that talking about Sequoia machines, perhaps?
It was, yeah, in Cuyahoga County in Ohio.
Okay, well,
it was.
Here's another wonderful fact for everybody. Okay, the three machine vendors who supply touchscreen machines to Florida are ESNS, Election Systems and Software. That's what we have in Sarasota County. 11 other counties have had this since 2002, and now 32 counties have ESNS touchscreens altogether for the disabled. Now, Diebold was certified last year. As I say, in less than a month, they zipped it right through the certification, so we now have Diebold touchscreens in 31, and guess what? Four counties in Florida have machines by Sequoia. Sequoia is owned by Smartmatic, whose CEO is a Venezuelan national who was denied a visa last year to this country. The major investors in Smartmatic are Venezuelan businessmen. Guess what? Sequoia is running elections in four counties in Florida, big ones. Pinellas, Hillsborough to our north, Palm Beach, one of the largest counties in Florida, and Little Indian River up in the north.
Chad County.
People need to wake up and know what the heck is going on before we completely lose our democracy in this country, folks. Don't get distracted about bringing democracy elsewhere in the world. We're losing it here. We need to demand verified elections, and computer scientists, election officials all over the country are beginning to realize elsewhere that you've got to have a voter-verified paper record, a paper ballot, not a receipt. Unfortunately, I think that governor's discussion the other day with the candidates was mistaken. We don't want a receipt. Nobody wants to take away a slip of paper. What are you going to do, round up 245,000 people and have us all stand there and say how we voted? No, we need a ballot that's kept on file at the elections office for the 22 months that's required by law, and do the spot checks. We're not talking about massive recounts. We're talking about spot checking the accuracy of our electronic machines.
All right, in the 1 minute left, I just have to break in. There are other ways of disenfranchising you from your vote. For example, locally it was reported that some of the Republicans are impersonating Christine Jennings, spamming people with these robocalls, and telling people, calling them over and over again. Alan, do you want to comment about that?
Oh, absolutely. Up in Bradenton, Manatee County, I know we'll get 2 or 3 calls in the evening, usually right around supper time. And sounds like it's coming from the Christine Jennings camp, and the Democratic office, I know, has been swamped with calls, and that's not the case. It's the opposition.
Yes,
the voters.
Vern Buchanan and the Republicans are pouring millions of dollars, many of it locally here, in these either illegal or semi-illegal ways of disenfranchising people from voting, trying to convince them that the voting is on Tuesdays for Republicans and Wednesdays for Democrats and things like that.
No way.
Other places out west asking for voter ID cards, which is basically a poll tax, which is illegal. Many different ways of doing this.
There are. But steer people to our website to learn about the voting machine issue, okay? The www.safevote.org. And they can email me if they want to get a list of the times this HBO documentary was shown.
Don't you post it on your website?
I will try to get that up with our webmaster, but it's absolutely. But they can email safevote@comcast.net, and I'll be glad to answer any questions and send them the schedule for this wonderful documentary on hacking democracy.
Wonderful. Kendra, thank you. I think it's time to go. We're up at the top of the hour, and we have some classical music coming up, but I want to thank you for taking the time.
Hey,
this
I
is our last push.
I appreciate your efforts.
Thanks so much. Okay, appreciate you. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, we have Benjamin here in the studio, and Ben is going to be playing some nice Russian classical music for us, something a little less controversial than the surreal news that you've been listening to. And we'll see you again next week. We have Amnesty International as our guest.
Great.
They're going to be great. They're going to be talking about torture, about international laws for detainees, about the Geneva Conventions and how we've trashed those. Amnesty International has been very forthright about the torture issue, and they're going to be our guest next week. It should be excellent.
It's been a great show, Steve. We've had Costa Rican Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you for having me, and Bush won't appreciate Amnesty International being here this coming week.
We're hoping they give us amnesty for that. All right, so this is the Surreal News. It's 10 o'clock, WSLR Radio, 96.5, low-powered FM in Sarasota, Florida.
Low power does not mean low impact. Support public radio. Give to this radio station. Support other public radio stations. We're streaming on the Internet. Come to our Internet site, too, thesurrealnews.com.
And listen to
our
podcast.
Do your part. Go out there and vote.
That's right. And remember, election night, 7 to 9, WSLR Radio is going to be broadcasting the election results. We're gone.